Mickey Filer Show. Try it at no obligation for 30 days or your money back. Every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Right here on 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar. Touchdown! Where every day is game day.
At Blue Ridge Heating and Air, love what the guys do and how they do it. And I talk all the time about just how intelligent these guys are. I want to hang out with these engineering guys and Chris and Ben and business too, because I always talk about engineers. Well, they got MBAs as well, so they're engineers with MBAs. But they treat this thing, the expertise, they treat it differently because they talk about air quality and not just temperatures. So that means, you know, heating and cooling and dehumidifiers and humidifiers and air purifiers and what that humidity looks like in your home. And also, just from a life quality, life standpoint, carbon monoxide. I mean, there's all kinds of things are in the air of your house. So they do a great job of looking at these faulty gas furnaces and see if they can leak. And, you know, because you can't smell carbon monoxide and you can't see it, you can't taste it. So let these folks come and look at your gas furnace and see if that's an issue for you. Or if you need a new Armstrong dealer or a new Armstrong unit, the preferred Armstrong dealer right here in the state of South Carolina, made right here in Orangeburg. My point is, with the preventive maintenance plan, all these things happen. Get in touch with them. Take care of it. Blue Ridge Heating and Air. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Engineered comfort solutions. Three guests this hour. Brad Burnell at 8:45. Andrew Oliphant, 8:25. Dane Young, UGASports.com. Happy New Year, man. How you doing this morning?
See, I would tell you Happy New Year, but Larry Davis says I can't. This
past the time.
New Year. So, since he's my social guiding light, just good morning.
Yes. I agree with that. It is past that time. So, yes, just good morning. And not thank you for your service or any of that kind of stuff. Yeah. I love that one, by the way. Thank you for your service. Yeah, and he goes, yeah, how you doing? Larry, I can't believe you did that. Anyway, let's begin. I want to talk about the game itself. Let me get caught up personnel-wise. NFL draft, I know Branch, I know Allen, I know Delp. Anybody declared, any of those underclassmen declared besides those three so far?
I mean, a lot of people put out the graphics now even when they don't have eligibility.
Yeah.
Colby Jones, Oscar Delp, and I'm like, all right. I mean, I guess that's a nice gesture, but
oh, Delp, really Delp didn't have another year? I thought he had one more. No?
And Delp was done.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah, he was done. Colby Young's done. Yeah. Yeah, it was quick. I mean, it was quick, and if you cover Georgia on a daily basis, it also feels like Oscar Delp's been there forever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that kind of situation. Next year will be Lawson Lucky, Elias Williams, Ethan Barbour. So tight end, they have plenty of depth there. I don't think there's been any crazy surprises. I think we're still waiting mainly on offensive line to see what Monroe Freeling and Ernest Green do. We anticipate they are returning to Georgia. But it sounds like that they are doing their due diligence to see where they would potentially get drafted.
All right. Transfer portal, outgoing guys, any news there? Anybody that they lost of note?
No one. I mean, it's all depth pieces, right? So Bo Hughley, offensive lineman that played a little bit beginning of the season, went in the portal yesterday. Jordan Thomas, backup defensive lineman, goes to South Carolina. Nothing that I would say is a big crazy loss or anything that wasn't anticipated. Roger Robinson, running back, goes in the portal. All things considered, I think Georgia's been pretty fortunate. And some of that may be, you know, if they brought in a quarterback to play over Gunnar Stockton, we can talk about all of his performance and everything. I think that would wreck the quarterback room, and that may be as much of a reason as anything of why they're in the spot they're in.
With that said, what are the needs for portal, and how's it looking so far with portal additions?
Yeah, I would start with the things that got you beat. So this is going to be pass rush. If you can find a good defensive end to play, it's hard to do. I mean, they thought they had one in Elamadozi last year from Army, and then he barely played this season. And then defensive back, they already brought in Khalil Barnes, and I know that in your neck of the woods, that's probably a little polarizing based on the way that Khalil's Clemson career ended. But I think Georgia is excited to have that as a depth piece. I'll be curious to see how they use him because I don't know that he has put him across the other side of KJ Bolden as a safety kind of guy. But maybe he's the fifth or even sixth defensive back on the field in certain packages. And I think that could be helpful. But look, they brought in three safeties in the cycle this last time, and none of them were successful. And that was the hope for Georgia all year.
All right, I'll give the Georgia fans an insight on Barnes. And afterwards, I want you to give the South Carolina fans an insight on Jordan Thomas. Barnes is, first of all, he's had a great freshman season. I thought he digressed as he moved on. But Barnes is really good close to the line of scrimmage. Good tackler, physical guy, can come off the edge with some corner-type blitzes, nickel-type blitzes. The deeper you get and the farther away from the line of scrimmage he has, turning and running with downfield receivers and assignment-wise, you know, you bust an assignment in some as a nickel underneath guy, you got a couple guys behind you. But if you bust assignment back there at safety, no go there. I'd be surprised if he played anything but nickel. Not a great tackler. Good tackler, not a great tackler. Got run over a few times this year.
Latavius Breeny, when he was at Georgia couple of years ago, sounds like a similar role to that.
Yes.
The one thing about Barnes, and he played at the high school outside my house.
Right.
The three North Oconee Titans that now play for Georgia. And, you know, he commits to Georgia from the portal, and he changes his profile picture to him as like a five-year-old wearing Georgia gear.
Yeah.
And I was told in recruitment that he is a massive Georgia fan and has always been interested in Georgia. Georgia never offered him out of high school. And so I do wonder, you know, I told you this all offseason, that the continuity that Georgia had with Bobo calling plays, Bobo snapping the ball, Stockton throwing the ball, when you can find people that actually want to be a part of your program, you know, as long as the talent's not bad, then I actually think that can be helpful in this era of college football when it's so many mercenaries. Talent's always going to win out, but if it's even close to similar, then go with the guy that wants to be there.
All right, Jordan Thomas, Gamecock fans wanted to pick him up, the reserve defensive lineman at Georgia. What kind of defensive tackle was he there?
Man, I don't have a lot of information here because he barely played at Georgia. He did not get in the rotation hardly at all. Big body, I think it's a project. I don't think it's something that you plan on starting him day one and you're going to have an impact player. Maybe he rotates in, just depending on the depth of South Carolina heading into the season, but he would not have played at Georgia next year.
All right. Got to talk about the Sugar Bowl and the unbelievable up and down, wild, emotional rides. I'll let you start off with your overall assessment and any key points you want to make before I get to some questions.
I mean, can I just I feel like I can come on here and say I told you so.
Yeah.
Because I'd been saying – I think I kept looking for media voices that were going to say that this is a big challenge for Georgia, and people just kept saying Georgia's going to win by 10 points, 14. And I'm like, did y'all not watch Ole Miss in Athens? Like, they scored five straight touchdowns. Fourth quarter was rough, but – I saw enough from that quarterback. I was like, that was all the stuff that gives Georgia issues in the Kirby Smart era. He extends plays. He's accurate. He's explosive. If their defense is just mildly better, and it was, then Ole Miss can win this game. Now, Georgia still got down to the 3-yard line and had a chance to win. But that quarterback is the best one in college football in Trinidad Chambliss, which is crazy considering he was at Ferris State and anyone could have had him. But, you know, I think that's what probably frustrates Georgia fans the most is you look around the college football playoff and you're like, well, it's Carson Beck and it's Fernando Mendoza. So that's two guys that one was at Georgia for multiple years. The other was going to come to Georgia. And then you have Dante Moore who's going to be in the NFL. And then it was Trinidad or Gunner. And Trinidad won that out. So, look, you get to this point of the year, you have to have elite quarterback play. It's why I'm picking Ole Miss to beat Miami, because – I think Ole Miss has elite quarterback play, and I don't think Miami does.
Boy, I would have loved to see the Carson Beck and Georgia stuff all week long. It would have been a heck of a lot of fun to do that. We don't get a chance to do it. But what happened? To me, there was the sink. Now, the fourth down stuff, the fake punts, and there was a lot in there to impact. I'll ask you about coaching decisions coming up here a little bit. But to me, the single biggest factor of the football game was Georgia ran the ball extremely well in the first half. And the second half, Ole Miss shut down the run. I think it was 18 carries for 41 yards in the second half. What happened to the run game in the second half?
I mean, they weren't explosive. They weren't moving as many guys. I do think Drew Bobo's injury was bigger than what people thought. Malachi Oliver's fine. But you lose your starting center, and it makes a lot of a difference. Even the third down at the end of the game, I guess this is the second down when Georgia – you know, that's a pretty key play. It's like second and four, second and goal at the 4-yard line. And Georgia runs this I mean, it's a dumb play. It's like a read option. Micah Morris, who's been in the program for 5 years, just whiffs on a block. And I'm like, well, if that guy's going to whiff in that situation, like the most experienced, one of the most steady guards that you've had in the program since Kirby's been there. And it's like, well, you know, that happens, I guess. But, like, what can coaches do in that situation to coach around that? So, to me, Georgia players just didn't make the plays in the moments that they had to. And Ole Miss was a better and more physical team in the second half.
The fourth down stuff, what's fair criticism of Georgia's staff of the game?
The fair criticism is that Kirby allowed Trinidad Chambliss' play to impact his decision-making, which, you know, you can say, all right, well, that's how you coach in the flow of a game. But, like, when do you see Georgia go fake punt situation where the players don't know what's going on?
Yeah.
Like that seemed unprepared. That seemed lack of communication. So to me, that is a hesitant sideline that is afraid to give Ole Miss the football back because of the way their quarterback was playing. And I actually thought that's one reason that Kirby kept saying, I'm going to go try to win this at the end of the game. And that's why they didn't run the clock down. They were afraid to give Trinidad the ball, and they should have been, because that's what got them beat.
It seems that's the kryptonite of Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, by the way, too, that if you had that kind of dynamic playmaker at quarterback, then, I mean, almost 500 yards of offense and 39 points.
Yeah.
And if you go back and look at it, if Kirby loses the game, if Nick Saban lost the game, it was a dynamic quarterback, pass-run threat quarterback guy that puts up almost 40 points.
Before the game, Mickey, if I just handed you Georgia's offensive stats and the points that it had on the scoreboard,
yep,
which I know one of those was Dalen Everett's, you know, scooping score, if I just hand you that before the game, you think Georgia wins, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, like, for a lot of Georgia fans are mad at Mike Bobo right now. They're mad at Gunnar Stockton, and I think there's some discussion there that probably doesn't lead anywhere, but I think there's a discussion with Gunnar Stockton. But to me, ultimately, this comes down to Georgia defensively. Unless you want to build a team to go win a bunch of shootouts, this team is not built that way. And then maybe you need to say, you know, this happened at Alabama where Nick Saban got tired of these kinds of games, and he said, let's hire Lane Kiffin and let's start bringing in Tua and Jalen Hurts. Let's change the offense. We're going away from, you know, Jacob Coker and A.J. McCarron. Like, I feel like that's beginning to happen at Georgia, but it's a slow process.
Yeah. Well, the game, I don't know. I mean, there are times where I say it's an offensive game, and then the other side of it, I watched Miami and A&M play a tremendous defensive game. I watched Alabama and Oklahoma defense. You know, I watched Oregon shut down Texas Tech. So – every time I think that we're seeing these track meets like we saw in the Sugar Bowl, Alabama was held to 3 points. Texas Tech was shut out. You know, Ohio State was held to 14 points. So, I mean, you can play defense in here, and I thought Kirby would play that. Now, the other side of it, Georgia's young, too. I mean, the Elijah Griffins are coming, and DeMelo Jones are coming. These are young pups, you know, at this point in time.
I do think the offense-defense aspect of this will really reveal itself in this Miami and Ole Miss game. Because Miami's defensive front is as good as you'll find. Maybe Texas Tech is right there with them in terms of, like, defensive front. But Ole Miss gets the ball out quickly. And so I think that they can counteract that. You know, you would think whoever can score 24 points in that game has a good chance to win. Because I don't see Miami's offense being that explosive against Ole Miss.
Yeah. Interesting. Any other, like, staff-wise, anything to know there?
It's all reserve guys. I mean, it looks like Georgia's going to just run it back. And look, I'll go to the Gunnar Stockton discussion because I think it's the key one right now happening around Georgia. Georgia leads that game with a quarterback that's been in the program for 4 years, and it's asking itself the question, is he the guy? And if you're asking yourself that question after 4 years, then you have the answer, which is no. Like, he is not unequivocally the guy. The question then becomes, can we do better? And I look around the country right now, and I see what's in the portal. And I know if you bring in a portal quarterback to play on top of him, you're probably losing three quarterbacks in that process. So I don't think that Georgia can do better than Gunnar Stockton right now. And I think he was pretty good this year. I think Mike Bobo was really good this year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think running it back is probably the best opportunity that they have.
Well, two things. Number one is you can build a good enough roster around him to win. You can be good enough. I mean, there's again the Griffins and the Boldens and the Joneses. Like, you could be good enough, and the offensive line could be good enough, and you could get enough. In the running game, obviously, you got some great running backs there. You could be good enough. The other thing is, you've recruited well enough that you don't have to do a whole lot of it at a lot of positions, and therefore, when you do spend money, it's retention money rather than going out and investing in a $4 million quarterback or, you know, $5 million quarterback. I don't think Georgia has to do that. They didn't win two national championships with some, you know, flashy, dynamic quarterback play, even though I know you like Bennett an awful lot.
I also think that there was a philosophical shift with Kirby Smart this year to saying we need to always have a quarterback that's a threat to gain some yards on the ground. Now, look, Gunnar Stockton's not this big running quarterback. He's not going to go running for 110 and two touchdowns. But he can do the tough running thing. He's kind of like a great value Tim Tebow in that way.
But I'll say this about that now. It bothered me that Nate Frazier had 15 carries, and Gunnar Stockton had 13.
Yeah.
Like, to me, every time Gunnar Stockton runs it, and I know what he's trying to do, I get it, but every time Gunnar Stockton runs it, well, that's one less Branch touch. That's one less Frazier touch. That's one less Delp touch. Like, I want the ball in those guys' hands making plays. I don't want Gunnar Stockton. I want a mobile guy to escape a little bit. But, man, I want the ball in those playmakers' hands more often.
I hear you, and I agree with you. I just don't think Gunnar Stockton is the best distributor in that way.
Yeah.
Even Stetson Bennett was probably a little more wiggly in the backfield to create more time. Gunnar's going to go north and south and get what he gets.
Sure.
He's not going to extend the plays in the backfield. So my main point, though, Mickey, is that if Georgia thought a portal guy or even Ryan Pugliese on the roster is what's next, they better be able to run at minimum as good as Gunnar Stockton. I don't think Pugliese can. And so I look at Georgia's roster right now, and I'm like, you would have a philosophical regression if you go to anyone else on the roster. And so to me, this, you know, you really begin to think, all right, Gunnar next year, what are you doing after that? Because in my opinion, it's not someone that's on the roster currently.
I agree. And that's where the loss, the Vanderbilt kid, I mean, that's a big loss, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Tell me about UJSports.com, man. What you guys doing?
We are doing live portal tracking season videos pretty much every night. We did one last night to give more of a breakdown of where Georgia's at and what they're doing. Had a couple wide receivers on campus yesterday. You know, this is the funny part of the portal, Mickey, because I don't see playmakers out there. Like, I don't see Georgia getting a Zachariah Branch that you build the offense around next year. Like, I see some guys. I see Isaiah Canyon will be a good player at Georgia. But I think Georgia would be leaning on the receivers that it currently has on the roster, and that's what all these coaches are deciding right now.
Good stuff. The place to find it, UGASports.com. Let's see what portal things happen. Let's see what the rest of the roster looks like when we visit next week.
Sounds good, Mickey. Thank you.
You too, buddy. Dane Young, UGASports.com. Didn't talk any Georgia-ranked basketball then. When we come back, Andrew Oliphant talks some PGA Tour, previews of the PGA Tour season, some rule changes that we'll talk about, and Brad Brunell joins us, previewing SMU and Clemson at 8:45. Much more after this.
It was just a few years back that I was trying to understand why my body wasn't cooperating. Then my great friends at PhD Weight Loss helped me to realize that it's not my fault. Losing weight is getting harder and harder. I was eating better, I was moving more, but my body just wasn't responding the way it used to. That's not willpower, that's metabolism. For many people just like me, years of dieting quietly slows the metabolic system down, so the harder I tried, the less progress I was making. But at PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss and fix the root cause, not just the calories. If you want to better understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock this great New Year's special. It's free, it's personalized, and it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900.
Turn any day into a special occasion when you give her fine jewelry from Turner's Jewelers. Our experts will help you find a dazzling necklace, sparkling earrings, or a stunning bracelet. You know what she loves better than anyone. And when it's time to look for an engagement or wedding ring, count on Turner's Jewelers to make the perfect day even better. Dream up a magical gift at turnersjewelers.com or visit Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca. Turner's Jewelers, where joy comes out of the blue.
As an independent business owner, you're the expert in your field. but you may not have the time or resources to stay on top of tax forms and payments. Let David Green help you get back on track. With his expertise, he can implement the best IRS programs to resolve any tax issues you face. Whether it's with the IRS or South Carolina state taxes, call us today at 271-7940 or visit greenlaw.legal for a free consultation to discuss your situation.
Looking for the right solid surface flooring for your home? Do you have a few questions about the best options for you? No worries. That's where Greer Flooring Center Consultants can help. Our team of local professionals can show you hardwood, luxury vinyl, tile, and engineered wood flooring and answer your questions to customize the perfect space. Remember, you'll always find knowledgeable, experienced staff member and the right prices at Greer Flooring Center. Now, our new state-of-the-art showroom is at 5606 Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Share a box or two at your business meeting, at church, or with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Get ready to relive one of the greatest moments in music history. On January 10th, the Walhalla Performing Arts Center presents Randomonium, a tribute to the 1985 Live Aid Festival. This South Carolina-based variety band is famous for its incredible range, covering generations of music, genres, and moods. From iconic classics to unforgettable anthems, Randomonium brings the energy and excitement of Live Aid back to life in one spectacular night. Don't miss this epic performance. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPAC.com.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
If it matters, we're talking about it.
Like it matters?
Oh, it matters.
We're 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Got a great opportunity for you, Engineered Sleep, right now. So do some comparative shopping. First of all, the mattress is better Engineered Sleep, but like, look at what the major manufacturers, the national, the big box people, what they charge for their high-end mattress, and then look at Engineered Sleep, and you can see thousands and thousands of dollars difference. As a matter of fact, like, I saw a mattress company talk about financing. I'm like, man, you got to finance your mattress. I hope you're doing a little better in life than that. But that's how expensive some of these things are. I've got a family member spent $10,000 on a bed. $10,000. And then I asked the guys at Engineered Sleep about it. He goes, oh, yeah, that's a gimmick, what those people are selling. And so there's all kinds of ways to look at this. We love our great friends at Engineered Sleep. You're going to save money in front end. And then with the ES Duo, you only change the top part of it in 5 or 6 years or whatever, and you save money when it's all said and done there too. 100-night sleep trial, 10% off WCCP listeners. Free move in. Take your old mattress out. Put your new one in. EngineersSleep.com. 333 North Pleasantburg Drive. The very best in the business. Andrew Oliphant, Director of Instruction at Katichi in Hartwell, Georgia, joins us now. Good morning, Andy O. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you, Mickey.
All right. I've got three or four. I'm going to try to sneak them in for 2026. first two-part question. Will we see Tiger Woods on the PGA Tour? Will we see Tiger Woods on the Champions Tour?
Good question. It's straight out the gate in 26, holding me to Tiger Woods. Will we see him?
Yes.
I would say yes. Let's hope to see him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said this before a few times. I've written Tiger off, right? I didn't think he'd come back after surgery. How many times now? And I think, you know, I mentioned that I don't think I'd see him win a tour event. He went and won at East Lake. He went and won the Masters. So I've completely changed my view on things like that. But the man in Tiger Woods, we can never write him off. You know, so I don't know if he's publicly said he doesn't want to play a seniors tour. He's competitive. I think he'd look at things that, well, you know, he's won so many majors. Could he do the same thing on the seniors tour? And I'm sure that something like that might spike his interest. So we may see him in the majors. And like any time Tiger's teeing it up, it's going to enhance the event. So as golf fans, we want him playing.
Is senior tour because of the opportunity to ride? Would he ride in a golf cart, you think, if he plays the champion stuff?
I think he would. Yeah. We've seen him riding at the, you know, the father son challenge. I know that's a little bit more of a, you know, exhibition style golf, but we've seen him riding there. We've seen him riding in some of the, you know, the other stuff that's made for TV, if you will. So yeah, I think we would see him take advantage of that.
All right. If he does, let's assume he plays Champions Tour. Let's assume he rides. Can he win?
Of course. Yeah, I mean that's a given right there. I mean, you've got a man who, you know, he's won at every level, right? So that part's never going to leave him. That's never going to elude him at going to a tournament. I mean, even if he's teeing it up in. Look, he's rusty, right? But even if he took the opportunity to play some PGA Tour events, I think that can he win would still be on the, you know, on the ticket, you know. So it might take him a couple of events to shake some of the rust away, get his form, get his groove, get his competition juices going. But absolutely, he can win.
Another guy of his future. Looks a little bit different than what we thought this time last year. Brooks Koepka leaving LIV Tour. What are your expectations here? What do you think his options are? What do you think the PGA Tour welcoming him back? And how would that go? And kind of reinventing himself in Koepka 2.0. What's it going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, is it Koepka 2.0 or Koepka 3.0,
yeah,
right?
Right, 3.0, yeah.
You know, he's Mr. Major and then obviously left, went to LIV, and I think he's, his reasons for doing that, he had the surgery on the knee and didn't think he could play as many events as he did. And, you know, he was one of the guys that you see them playing in the Masters or you see them in the Open or some of the events that the LIV guys have blended in with. But at least Koepka was the guy who didn't wear his team uniform, if you like. You know, he was a Nike guy and, you know, he'd go to those events and he wouldn't be pushing LIV in your face, so maybe he already had one foot in, one foot out. I don't know, but we've always said that the keeping the majors is a tricky way of you know getting into the majors for these guys was the way to sort of squash LIV golf. You know, I mean, when it first came along, what are we, third, fourth season now? You know, when it first came out, so. You know, cut out the pathway to the majors, and that's going to make guys think a little bit differently. Now, what his status is on PGA Tour, I don't know. You know, I mean, I know he's major champion. You're going to have him in your field, but he might have to rely on a few sponsors' invites to be able to play, and then play his way back to the greatness that he is.
All right. Well, let me give you this then. And maybe the LIV was a cause of this, maybe not. But he finished second at the Masters in 2023, and he won the PGA Championship in 23. Since then, he's played in 10 majors, 17, 64, 45th, 26, 26, 43rd last year. Miscut, T12 and miscut. So it's not trending good. Can a little enthusiasm, you know, he's been a dad, like I said, knee surgery, he's got a lot of the other things going on now, but can he reinvent himself and can he regain a little bit of the old form?
Yeah, I mean, golf has hit this wall. You know, I mean, just as you're chatting there, you know, Ricky Fowler might be another one, right? You know, you know, married kids and all of a sudden different view on life, and you know, they don't get up at 6:30 in the morning and hit the gym hard and go practice and go for a run, get back, go for another run, play nine holes, play another nine holes, practice for 2-3 hours and get up and do it all again the next day. You know, once they've got family in place, you might be doing the school run. You know, so that changes people. That changes their view on practice. And, you know, if he is going to get back to Brooks 2.0, 3.0, then, you know, he might have to put a few golfing priorities there versus family. And that's tough to do.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that. And he's 35. He turns 36 in May. You know what? There's a lot going on for sure. And then my final one for you, and I read an article. This is from golf.com. And he talks about the putting stats and where the guys are headed right now. That the blade putter is dying at a very, very fast rate on the PGA Tour and among the higher ranked players and major winners. You're a putting expert guy, all the aim point stuff, all the short game stuff you're doing. You see this blade putter dying out? You see it dying out? Are we seeing more and more players going to more of a mallet-style putter?
I think we're in a trend. Yeah, I think that, yeah, I've said this before, that, you know, to share this with players, you know, I was in the golf shop 35 years ago, and a guy walked in and placed the putter on the counter and started spinning it, and it was the, you know, the inertia putter, that the zero torque. And this was, you know, 35 years ago. You know, before that was probably, you know, about that time was the Ping Answer. And along came Scotty Cameron. I mean, every golfer on the planet has probably had either a Ping Answer or a Scotty Cameron Newport, you know, yeah. that shape of putter.
Yeah.
And now we're trending more towards the mallet. I think that, to be fair, you know, the spider putter came along, and look, once a guy on the PGA Tour wins with that style, then everybody seems to follow suit. I mean, we've seen Odyssey putter, you know, they had one out, I think that number 7, whatever they're calling it, you know, they had that out 10 years ago. They had to reinvent it. They had to bring it back out of the archives, right? You know, because of the trend and the fashion. So, you know, zero talk's a big, big part of golf right now. I think every manufacturer is jumping on that. I know Ping have got some exciting clubs coming out shortly with they've done quite a unique paint job on theirs with the lines and dots, and how they've done it is that, you know, they've studied it, and this is the best way to line putter up to your target. But who knows, the blade putter, it could make a comeback. I mean, I personally, whenever I look at putters and I sit one down, it's like, you know, my eye likes the blade style. Now, if I get on a Sampot Lab or something similar and a blade isn't performing as well as a mallet, then, hey, ball's in my court, right? Yeah. I've got to make a decision. Do I like what I look at, the traditional blade style, or am I going by the data and the stats and throwing the mallet in there? So, again, as golfers, I think we've got a little blend of everything, but it's certainly a trend right now.
Well, you sent me an awesome-looking graphic with your New Year's special going on, 20% discount on a six-hour lesson program. You can save 130-something bucks saving if you do this now, 20% off. Tell me about that. Tell me about how they can reach it and start 26 off by getting some great instruction.
Yeah, so it's beautiful out there this morning, a little foggy, a little misty, and you know, the players are coming out. You'll make a New Year's resolution to get your game in shape, get a little bit better. If you some players have never taken instruction, you know. So it's I'm encouraging people to come out and change for 2026 and creating that New Year special that they can save 20% on lesson programs. And the best way to get a hold of me is andrew@katichi.com.
Place to find it, andrew@katichi.com. Let's talk some real PGA Tour golf where they open their season. We'll preview it when we visit next week.
Yeah, missing Hawaii this
week.
Me
too,
man. We've got another week to wait for that. But I saw some images, too, of the course. It looks like it's in much better shape. So hopefully we'll see that back on the calendar for next year.
Hopefully that's the case. Miss those beautiful vistas and views. Have a great week, bud, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Thanks again, Mickey.
You too, buddy. Massive game in Little John Coliseum, 9 o'clock tonight. Clemson head basketball coach Brad Burnell joins us to finish out the show after this.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7 so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at Quo.com/sports. That's Quo.com/sports to try Quo free. Quo.com/sports.
At Ingles, we know that fresh means local. The best ingredients don't come from a world away. They come from your own backyard, which is why we rise to the challenge of providing the freshest items you'll find anywhere. Getting our foods from the farms we support, to the stores we love, to the tables you treasure. Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
This new year, get rid of that dad bod with testosterone and peptide therapy from Low Country Male. Right now, we are offering $200 off our initial consult package, and our plans start at just $7 a day. Our concierge treatment plans include testosterone, peptides, labs, and unlimited doctor visits. With 8 locations and over 10 years experience, come see why Low Country Male is the most trusted name in testosterone and peptide therapy. From BPC to CJC, we have a wide selection of growth hormone and recovery peptides. Book today, lowcountrymale.com.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
It's bow time. It's time to rise and dine because Bojangles just launched the new breakfast bowl. This hearty combination features country sausage, cheese, eggs, and southern gravy over crispy bow rounds. But hurry, it's here for a limited time. It's bow time.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
2008 was an incredible year for me and my family. Not only was it the year that I became head coach at Clemson, but it was also the year that I found the only dealership I need for sales and service. Toyota of Easley is my kind of place. If you are considering the purchase of a new or used vehicle or need your current vehicle serviced or repaired, then I encourage you to go see the winning team at Toyota of Easley. Be sure and tell them Dabo sent you.
Experience the Davis Services difference where quality meets reliability. Family owned, serving the upstate and western North Carolina since 1972, Davis Services is your go-to for all HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs. With decades of expertise, we ensure your home runs smoothly and efficiently, providing peace of mind for you and your family. Don't wait for problems to escalate. Call Davis Services today and let our skilled team handle it all. Call 864-432-1785 or visit our website davisservicesinc.com today.
The Roar, now offering great sports talk around the clock. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Final segment of the show. Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate, 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Brad Hughes Insurance.com. I have better coverage. I have better rates. Thanks to Brad. Get in touch with him. See if he can help you out. A lot of us do the bank draft stuff. I don't even know what I pay, but I know I get reviewed, and I review it all the time with Brad and make sure we get the right stuff there. So see if he can help you out. See if he can get you better coverage or better rates or both by combining homeowners and auto at Allstate. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, 292-3001. Massive basketball game in Little John Coliseum, 9 o'clock tonight, SMU and Clemson. Clemson basketball coach Brad Burnell joins us. Good morning, Coach Burnell. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great, Mick. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Long day for you because we're 12 hours and 50 minutes away from a big one. Let me start big picture, though. We talk about portal now and all these sports. I'm going to commend you on this. I'm amazed that you go out and get the talent you get in the portal, but then have the guys blend and the unselfishness of it. Is this something you work at? You do it in recruiting in the portal? It seems to me it's so difficult for these guys to buy into roles coming out of the portal when other people might be promising more minutes and more shots and more points. Am I getting that right? Like, it was a big challenge. You guys seem to have awesome guys that have bought into roles this year.
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate that. Staff deserves a lot of credit. Yeah, we really try to do our best in the short recruiting period that the portal is, of doing our homework and recruiting the right kind of kids. And we're very honest and upfront about, you know, what the expectations are, what their role is, what we, you know, the vision we have for them, and trying to make sure that it's a match. I think the worst thing you can do is, you know, you kind of oversell folks on things, and then all of a sudden they get here and it's not what you kind of told them. And in a short period, man, you'll lose them. They're hard to coach, hard to deal with, because you were dishonest in the recruitment. So I think that's one thing. But more importantly, just recruiting the right kind of kids, being honest up front. And then I think us also establishing a good culture. We have a really good culture. The guys that are here, we have a way we go about doing things. And I just think, like, there's an expectation that when you come in, and this year is probably the most challenging because of really only having Dylan and RJ, you know, there's an expectation of how we do things. And you know, and I think our guys really understand that this is why we've been successful. And we've had good players that go about doing things the right way and really trying to play together. And we preach team all the time. And that's, I say it all the time. There's all kinds of people wearing the same jerseys out there, but there's really less and less teams in sports right now. And so if you can have a team, a true team that cares about each other and winning, you have a chance to be special.
I talk about Clemson basketball fans all the time, and that's what they want. That's what they like. And they like these guys playing that hard and that Clemson grit. And I think you see that, and I hope you'll see it tonight at 9 o'clock. We'll talk about how big that game is here in a second. But is that something you have to work on day to day? Guys go through slumps, maybe minutes might go down, maybe injuries or bumps and bruises. Do you still have to talk about that? Is something you still have to work, you know, psychologically with the guys throughout that still throughout the season?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, probably in the last 5 years, I have more one-on-one meetings with players than I've ever had. And I think that communication is vitally important. You know, players got to know you care, and they got to know that you're, you know, I say it to them all the time, what can I do on my end to help you be successful? How can I help? And, you know, we obviously are pointing out things that they need to improve, they have to do better. But also you as a coach have to figure out a way to try to reach them. And, it's a lot of one-on-one time. There's a ton of time that you invest in your players. And, you know, there's just so many voices in these kids' heads right now, you know, whatever parents, AAU coaches, high school coaches, you know, agents. I mean, one thing I always talk about is, you know, I hope my name is pretty high on the list. 'Cause if it's not, you know, in terms of who you're listening to, we're going to probably have some issues. And, so you really have to spend time to make sure that the kids are hearing what, you know, the message that you want. And, and make sure that there's an open dialogue so you can be honest with each other and figure out ways to utilize them the best they can be successful.
All right, you had the awful luck with the injury in the backcourt, and man, what a player, by the way. And I'll ask you about the recovery here in a second. But I want to give Porter, get your thoughts about Porter and Buckner, because I thought those are two key guys, kind of pick up a little slack, pick up the rope a little bit on the offensive end. And Ace goes out and gets 19 against South Carolina and 12 against Cincinnati. And then Porter, man, does a great job with 21 against Pitt. I think he's got double figures in five of his last seven or so. Give me an idea, picking up that a little bit of rope in that backcourt, and those two guys, what they've given you offensively.
Yeah, Zach was an unfortunate injury. Man, he's a talented player, great kid. Just he's so dynamic. I mean, 6'5", point guard, speed, athleticism. Just, you know, we played him at point even when we played him with Dylan, just because we were able to just play much faster. And so we've had to really adjust, and that's a little bit more challenging. Our margins for error are much smaller now, just because I don't think it's as easy for us to score. We're not playing as fast. We're not as deep. And so, as you mentioned, that means, you know, we got to execute better. And then and guys like JP, who was already getting a bunch of time, but Ace Buckner's going to get more time. He's got to learn how to play a little more point guard. But it is a great opportunity for those guys. I think JP has just gotten more comfortable in our system, how we do things, and he's finding shots that we don't dial plays up for him. We can't always dial a play up, and he's got to be able to find ways to score within offense. And I think he's doing a better job of that. And then, you know, Ace is a very confident guy. He plays the game with great force. You know, he plays it at 85 miles an hour. I'm still trying to get him to cut her back to 55 every once in a while so his decision-making can be where we need it. But he's got a bright future. He's a competitive guy, and both those guys are obviously playing well, and that's really important for our team.
All right. Talk to me about the importance of rebounding. You and I talk about the fundamentals all the time when we, in this team. I'm not sure you had a natural rim protector guy back there, but five guys doing their job on the boards. You know, I thought one of the big keys for both of the wins on the road to start the conference play is you won the recruiting battle. I mean, we won the rebounding battle there against some pretty long guys there. But seems to me all, your guards are great rebounding. Everybody's chipping in a little bit. But talk to me about the importance of rebounding, how big that would be tonight as well.
Yeah, we talk a lot about, you know, the game is about possessions, extra possessions, and you get extra possessions, you know, really two ways, either turnovers or offensive rebounds, right? You know, you got to win the turnover battle, you got to win the rebound battle. We're probably not a dynamic rebounding team. We don't have Ian Sheflin. We've had that luxury for the last 3 years, who's just phenomenal rebounder on both ends. And so, yeah, we have to work at it. I mean, we have to get everybody involved. And I do think, you know, we try to do a great job where we're not put in rotation so much so that we have hat on a hat to block out. Sometimes you have poor rebounding days, and it's not just blockouts. It's basically you're behind the play, and so you got two on the ball or you got mismatches because you're behind a play, and now you got the wrong guys blocking out the wrong guys, and it's hard. So being able to control tempo, keep people in front, keep a hat on a hat so that you can block out and finish, really important. Certainly that's a big key to our defensive success.
All right, give me a key to defensive success tonight because, man, SMU, they get up and down the floor, 97 against North Carolina, over 100 or right at 100 in a bunch of these games here as of late, over 100 a lot earlier on. It's a high-speed pace. So what are keys to slowing that down? What are keys to getting this game back and getting a good win at home tonight?
Yeah, I don't think we can, you know, we can expect to hold those guys to 60. They're too talented. I mean, I didn't like watching that North Carolina game too much. They were, 58 in the second half, shot 75%. I mean, it's ridiculous what they were able to do. They're just really, really talented. You know, some of it's our offense. We have to have a better offensive game. We call it tilt when we try to tilt the floor and transition and get a few easy baskets. I think we're going to have to get some of those. We can't just walk the ball up, but at the same time, we've got to have disciplined offensive possessions and not take bad shots because they're just so fast in transition and so dynamic, and they'll out-athlete us in transition. And so it's a combination of running really good offense, taking good shots, making some shots so that they're taking the ball out. That's as important as anything.
All right, Boofy Miller presents a huge problem. A guy that is, you talk about dynamic, you get up and down the floor. Keys to stopping him, personnel wise, plans to stop him. How does that work tonight?
Yeah, we got to slow him down early in transition, and that's going to take more than one player. We're going to have to call it a zinger when we have our inbounders man help, frail rebounder help get involved to slow the ball. Then our pick and roll coverage is going to have to be on point. Our guards are going to have to really bully the ball and fight through and not have to help because they have so much shooting everywhere else that if you've got too much rotation, you're going to get picked apart from three. And so we've got to win the war at the ball screen as much as we can. We got to keep them, you know, in half court as much as we can. He's going to make some tough shots. We got to live with some of those. And but again, I think our offensive execution is important to try to slow their transition.
I'm not going to mention their center because I don't know how to pronounce his name. Samet.
Yigitolu.
Yeah, that guy. What problems does he present? Rebounding wise,
yeah,
shot blocking wise. I mean, he controls the paint a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's huge. 7'2". Was a good player last year. He's gotten better. You know, he just doesn't have great foot speed, so maybe we can get a couple of easies beating him down. But when he gets locked in there around the rim, he's hard to handle. We're definitely going to be at a mismatch there. So we got to do our best to try to keep it out as much as we can, which won't be easy because there's shooters everywhere. But our guys have got to, we kind of call it peekaboo defense. You got to kind of give them different looks and do some different things. We got some pressure on passers and we're just going to have to guard as a team in a really good way, take away his initial stuff.
I thought in these key stretches coming down, these close road wins at Syracuse and at Pittsburgh, even Cincinnati, experience has been a factor. Get old, stay old, one of these things in basketball right now. Was it as big as I perceived that you guys, these guys have been in wars before, that experience helped out with those close wins?
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. I just think guys that have been through some things and guys that understand what it takes, possession games. I mean, I think that's where losing Zach probably is going to slow our offense down. We're going to be in those kind of games. I think this is just going to be a kind of a grinder team. So our margins are probably shrinking. We have to start embracing that, which, you know, we got a group of guys that do. We've got a tough-minded group. We got a physical group. And so we can handle that. But it's going to make for some upset stomachs for our fans at times because it's going to be a lot of, white knucklers there at the end. And so, but I'm proud of our guys. I mean, to find a way to win all these games that we have down the stretch, take some mental toughness, some really good late game execution, and we've been able to find a way to win a bunch, and that's going to be the recipe for success moving forward.
All right, final personnel question for you. Davidson finding his way a little bit as of late. Well, I thought he had some key baskets, some key possessions. What did you see from him, especially in those 14 points up at Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think he's doing better and struggled a lot early.
Yeah.
We've moved him around a little bit, I think, to try to help him, give him a little more space, encourage him to shoot the three and really want him to knock some threes down, and he's been doing that. I think maybe coming off the bench has helped a little bit to kind of settle in and kind of see how things go. The one thing he does do is he can play both post positions for us, and so he really helps. And he probably helps in a little more ways, like defensively, inbounding versus press, passing against pressure teams. He does some things that probably are a little more unsung than people realize that are really important. And he probably does those things a little better than RJ. So it's a nice mix between those two guys. And then Carter Welling, I think we have a very good three-headed monster there.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt about the versatility of those guys, the experience of those guys also. All right, final one for you, Coach. Home game tonight. You've been on the road for so long now. Students back, 9:00. I know you'd have a big crowd, nice to have a big crowd and encourage that because it could be a tremendous home court advantage. I'll let you make a plea to get the crowd out. And a little late night in Little John tonight.
Yeah, I hope we can get everybody out. Obviously, this team, I think, is really playing well, and our guys are playing so hard. They're excited that everybody's back in town. I know it's a late night, but I hope we can get a few folks from the community to come in and support us. Little John on game night is awesome. I don't know if people realize how good SMU is, a top 25 team. This is one of the better additions to our league in terms of basketball. They're not going to go away. They've got a ton of money, and they're going to be able to recruit at a high level. So this is going to become a really good rivalry for us. And obviously we were able to beat them twice last year in close games. Should be another great one in Little John tonight.
9:00, Little John, 24th ranked SMU in Clemson. Coach, great luck with that one. Let's visit again soon. Good luck up at Notre Dame as well. And hopefully get a good, nice win tonight, Coach.
Thanks, Mick. Appreciate you.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. Brad Burnell, Clemson basketball coach. 2-0 in the ACC, trying to go 3-0 and a big one tonight. Hey, Eric Newton, EricNewton.com for all real estate needs. It's EricNewton.com. Get in touch with him. He can certainly help you out. My great friend, EricNewton.com, the best in real estate in Clemson, South Carolina. What him and Jeff Scott are doing home wise, you can love EricNewton.com. 10 seconds, Sam. 2-minute drill. 10 seconds, Keanu. 2-minute drill. Anything for 10 seconds?
LeBron James, at the age of 41, is still putting up impressive numbers. 38-8 last night. Goat James, bat.
I can get behind that. He's a cyborg. Get the Little John and I grit after dark. Nobody can complain about that.
Love that for sure. Let me thank Dane Young, Andrew Oliphant, Brad Burnell, Sam, Keanu. Great stuff. Up next to my favorite people, Faxon and John. Have a wonderful Wednesday. More Pro Tune in tomorrow. That's when we'll see you right here on the radio.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.